of the Simchas. I think. I hope so. Okay, so should we start? We'll start with the regular shiur, and then we'll hopefully have time to say a few more words, say something about the Chelek, which we will be doing on regular Mondays. Okay, so the we were discussing some of the, I'd say this is very, very interesting issues. What we should really do is, you know, if we have the time, would just be to go to much more detail in terms of the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch. The, you know, most of the material is found here in Siman Reish Mem Beis and Yoredeya. Again, it seems like a very you know, tepid, you know, kind of a, you know, Siman Hilchos Kavod Rabbah Talmud Chacham, you know, but it's really, you know, peppered with all sorts of fascinating topics, issues about, you know, the nature of the halachic process and the issues that we've been discussing, the relationship between, you know, tochen, process, and kavod, and, you know, sometimes these three emerge as totally distinct. Sometimes they emerge as different emphases, each with its own clear, you know, compelling orientation. And sometimes there really is a very clear overlap where, you know, one of these affects the other. And that's really what we've seen a lot, you know, beginning with the Gemara and then the Rambam and then numerous of the Rishonim, where we've seen this overlap in both directions. And if you go through Siman Reish Mem Beis, well, I say these issues are very, very on the surface and beneath the surface. You know, the major Nosa Kalim and then the Piskei Tshuvas are amazing here because they're just all very, you know, exciting. So I just want to speak about a few of these issues. First, I want to finish off some of the discussions that we've been having. In terms of smicha, I'm not going to do more of that for the moment. There is more to do. If you look at the, again, the Nosa Kalim on the Rama, you know, we talked about how the Rama was so delicate and the tshuva and, you know, the Nosa Kalim point to all sorts of other discussions, Mari ben Leib and Ibn Chaviv and so on. But we'll leave that for now. That's very important. But I did want to get back to was a couple of the other issues, you know, that come up. Especially, you could see that the Marik, whose readings we read, both Kuf Yud Zayin and Kuf Samach Tes, had a major, major impact on this topic in terms of some of his decisions being codified into the Shulchan Aruch. And especially the second piece, Kuf Samach Tes, the base, is, you know, also quoted a lot, referred to, you know, obliquely, in some cases, and quoted a lot in, by the poskim throughout Siman Reish Mem Beis. So I want to also just zero in on a few of the other chidushim of the Marik on this topic. So let's just take a few of them, a few of the issues, and see what we can come up with. So first of all, Svarim Bizman Hazeh, the impact of having, you know, written texts, Bizman Hazeh. So again, there are two aspects of this, and again, it's part of a much bigger topic. I'm just we're doing, you know, drive-bys and some of these things. All these things are bigger topics. The issue of Svarim Bizman Hazeh has a dual connotation. Number one, the impact of accessibility in publishing, to what extent that changes the equation in terms of reliance on personal rabbeim and giving people more, you know, independence. You can look at it in one sense, you know, in terms of freeing people, you know, from, you know, the more personal or the boundaries created by those personal relationships. It also could work in the other degree, the other direction, and that is the responsibility that you have then not only to your rabbeim, but to, you know, the svarim, the things that are accessible, the, you know, the paper or textual rabbeim, you know, of Lidore Doros, you know, Chachmei HaMasora, whose positions have been, you know, published and codified and so on. And we see that as well. Actually, the Piskei Tshuva has, I think the Shavuos Yaakov quoted in the Piskei Tshuva, you know, points out or talks about this as a chumrah, that, you know, somebody who doesn't consult with the, and again, you know, this is a little bit tricky, there's a Bizman Hazeh aspect to this also. I mean, today, it's not just the classics that we have access to or the basic, you know, library, you know, which is one thing, but given the advent of publishing and especially, you know, of the computer, you know, and these databases, etc., so we have everything. So it can be a little bit you know, creates a lot more opportunities, and it also creates a lot of confusion, and it, you know, can create some imbalances, which we'll speak about very quickly as well. It's, again, I say, a very massive topic. But anyways, the Shmuel Yaakov commenting on the Shulchan Aruch's you know, discussion, Osel Adam Horos Lifnei Rabo, right, Olam, you know, Kol Amore Lefan of Chai Misa. So here in the Piskei Tshuva, they quote the, let's say, the Shmuel Yaakov, who says, if I can find the line here, just 1 second. Right, here it is, Sif Katan Gimel. I'm b'tshuva Shmuel Yaakov. D'lachein ra'u d'kol mi shigia l'hara shala yora shum hara bilti iun t'chila right b'sefer. Kira b'seinu hein hein asvarim. Asher nispashtu b'kerev Yisrael. Right? And so on. Again, what does this mean today when you have, you know, no end of svarim? That obviously can be taken to an extreme. If we want, we'll get back to that in the end. But for most Rishonim, the question is the opposite. And that is, does it free you? Not does it demand more of you, but does it free you from, you know, the walking, talking, you know, personal rebbeim, you know, that you have? And if so, in what way? What aspects of that relationship or those limitations are lifted by virtue of this alternative source? And again, one could look at it both in terms of access to material as well as, you know, the extent to which we see these texts as personal, or not personal, but as rebbeim as well. And I said I think there are two elements to this. Number one is the access and the impact that has in both directions. It also, of course, another element of it is something we've spoken about again and again, and that is the evolution of halacha. Just as we've discussed how, you know, Elav Elav Divar Elokim Chaim changes, you know, very, very gradually, obviously, you know, glacially, you know, even, by virtue of the evolution of halacha. In other words, you're not going to say, whether it's in matters of halacha or a little bit also matters of hashkafa, right? Now, you're not going to say that, you know, what was a debate in the Mishnah or in the Gemara, or even in the beginning of the Tkufa of the Rishonim, but which has found a consensus, strong consensus view, however we define consensus. And we talked about that earlier, Kimle and other things, Tos Bidvar Mishnah, we'll get to that again, and Bishikala Das and other such criteria. But you're not going to say that, you know, you can go back to any point in time and say, well, this, you know, these are different Chachmei HaMesora, Eilu Ve'eilu Divar Elokim Chach. Obviously, you know, history, you know, sometimes dictates that, you know, the Klal Yisrael has taken a certain position. Not always, not in all issues. Some old machloksim are still alive and well. But you're not allowed to, you can't just pick a Beis Shammai against the Beis Hillel on your own and say, Eilu Ve'eilu Divar Elokim Chach. You get total credit as Chefta Shel Torah, right, but you don't, if you try to do that in Psak Halacha, then, you know, that's totally unacceptable. Not just wrong, it's, you know, it's egregious and totally unacceptable. So, you know, we say, Beis Shammai, B'makom Beis Hillel, Eino Mishnah. But, you know, where do you, you know, in more subtle cases, you know, at what junctures do those, you know, glacial or gradual evolutionary changes, you know, become or transition from Tos, you know, B'Shikol Adas into Tos B'Dvar Mishnah, or as a something which is acceptable and even a range as opposed to something which is not. So the question of, the contribution of the Tanoim and then the Amoraim and then the Gaonim, this is a part of the issue here too, the Psakim of the Gaonim, right? So Psakim of the Gaonim at a certain point aren't just that, they become, you know, the norm, you know, in terms of Psak. And in terms of our issue, for example, Bifnei Rabo, you know, that can become the equivalent of, because this is one of the, you know, maybe it's even more obvious than Biata Bekutcha, you know, or Megillas Tainis or Sor Sakina. So, as I said, I think there are two different issues. One is the question of evolution of halacha and when, you know, certain psakim become part of the normative canon and almost like axiomatically part of, you know, the halacha. And the other one is this idea of accessibility freeing you from or imposing a greater obligation, as the case may be, you know, in terms of you know, the dinim of Talmud, you know, and Rebbe. Oh. So this comes up a lot in our sugya for both of these reasons. Number one, let's say you want to quote, you know, the Shulchan Aruch, or you wanted to quote earlier the psakim of the Gaonim, you know, bifnei rabcha. You know, how does that stack up with, you know, Biyata Bekutcha and so on? We know that Biyata Bekutcha itself, the question is where you draw the line. We talked about that. And so on. So that's one issue. And I said the other issue is whether you go further and say that, you know, because there are books and they are accessible and so on, so therefore your living, breathing Rebbe, right, no longer has these, prerogatives in terms of Bifnei Rabbo, maybe not even in terms of Mora Rabcha, you know, Kibora Shamayim, etc. Or, you know, in between, so there are two issues, and I say these are or should you be mechalek between different types of questions, right? Just like you might be mechalek between, you know, what is a new, you know, standard of normative psak that's different than saying that Dine Rebbe v'Talmud, you know, are affected by this. So too, there are certain Dine Rebbe v'Talmud, you know, that maybe are more personal, and others that really are more about, access to finding, you know, psakim. In which case, you might distinguish, you know, between them. And this also has two elements. One is Rebbe Talmud, and the other is the general status of Talmud Chacham, you know, Bizman Azeh. In addition to the regular issue of humility, you know, and do you read us Hadoros or not, you know, yesterday we spoke about, again, you know, who's Roy Lahoros, you know, B'chol Torah Kula. And so I just remind you of our other Monday discussions. We were talking about, you know, the, you know, Maribe Rav and the Ralbach, you know, and the Ralbach saying, well, you know, there's no Roy Lahoros B'chol Torah Kula in our time, you know, and he was talking about some great men. So, hearkening back to yesterday's discussion, but also relevant to today's discussion, you know, is that just a Melitza B'Alman, an expression of humility? Or is that a way of saying, well, Roy Lahoros B'chol Torah Kula is a very high standard. How rigorous is it? How much detail? How much really does it mean, you know, immersion in attunement, you know, walking Sefer Torah? You could have people who, you know, control the material, but, you know, they might think, you know, we know what we know, and we also know that we don't have the same level of you know, second nature, you know, instinct, you know, that that the Rambam had, or, you know, that Rav and Abaya had, etc. So this is an issue here, too, in other words, both in terms of Rebbe and Talmud, and in terms of, that's a relationship, but also in terms of the objective status of Talmud Chacham, I say in addition to the humility question, the question is, well, if there are books out there now, so, you know, do we have the same level of reliance on, and do we accord the same respect, let's say, to Talmid Chachamim? So these are important questions. You might say, well, relationship issues are one thing, and the objective status and stature of Talmud Chacham is quite a different thing. And by the way, you could be mechalik in either direction, as you understand. On the one hand, you could say relationships are all about, you know, what you get out of it. But on the other side of it, you know, there's a certain bonding that takes place in a relationship, you know, even if you could have accomplished it differently. And there's always a certain, you know, very personal stamp involved in that. And so you might be mechalik in opposite directions between these two issues, and it's interesting that it comes up. Again, we're just going to speak about the ones that come up here locally, but I've seen it in other contexts too. You know, Talmud Chacham in terms of misim, in terms of pidyon shvuyim, in terms of standing in his presence. You know, in terms of mechilas kavodo, these are some Talmud bifnei rabo. You know, in terms of what we're talking about, Bifnei Rabbo, Elim Kenatol Rishus Mi Rabbo, Kriya in the context of Avdelus. You know, there are all sorts of different contexts, and you might be Michalik. What you might say is that in certain things it's about, you know, the personal relationship and the awareness of a certain Akar Zatov and being shaped in a certain way, you know, being the Bakoach, the Dmuz Diukno parts, you know, you could say are one thing. And some of the other issues are quite another. So these are things to think about, and to, in terms of the, so far I've spoken only abstractly, so in terms of the actual makoros here that are spoken of in this, did you want to say something?
Oh,
are you trying to say something, or you're?
I have my hand up.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the Shlis Yaakov itself, it sounds like the din of looking at a sefer, and the whole din of Aser Lahoros from Malcolm Rabo is a din in having a sunan in the din.
Yeah.
Which is like that there should be some deliberation.
He says that also.
Yeah.
100%. But he quotes it in this context of Shulchan Aruch because he thinks that that's part of Bifnei. Again, you see from him that the was going to get back to that later, but thank you for bringing it up now. One of the things we've been tracking all along is whether Bifnei Rabo has also to do with the quality of the Psak and also the methodology of the Psak, or only to do with Kavod. And you see that the question of Svarim has nothing to do with Kavod, at least not personal Kavod, but it has everything, the way he describes it, to do with Hevel Masun and Bedin and the quality of the Psak. So that's an important element in Shlis Yaakov too. Anyways, in terms of the Rishonim...
I'm not sure if he relates it to the quality of the Psak.
Well, Hevel Masun and Bedin is definitely a din in quality of Psak.
He makes it sound like it's a din in the perception of how the Psak is going to be received by the inquirer.
I'm sure it also is. But again, that perception presumably is not completely disconnected, you know, from the sense that, you know, if you're Masunim, you're going to be more careful, you're going to pursue more avenues, and you're going to come up with a better psak. It is a process, like a transparency of the process and
right,
how what people think go into it. I agree with that.
It's not just this individual, but it's kind of...
Right, 100%. But I think it also, people think that because it is that. I think it's clearly, there's certainly a substantive and a perception. As we've seen, some of the substantive part, just like we saw about Psak Tamua, and especially the integration of the Hagos and Maimunios, of both that and Bifnei Rabo, it doesn't always have to be this particular Psak. It could be, you know, respect for the process and people's, you know, perception and therefore their confidence in it. And I think this has to do with the Shlis Yaakov too. But that is always also connected in a bigger sense, in a wider sense, to the quality of the psak. Yeah?
In the Tshuva, he's criticizing somebody who made a psak without looking at Svarim and therefore made a mistake.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, he clearly thinks that.
It's connected, but it's a din in Kod Rabo, which just shows Bifnei. It's again another one of the overlaps, and we'll see more of them as we go. By the way, since Bifnei Rabo, in the Shalomation.
Yeah. I mean, in
Shlis Yaakov,
I think the
Shoal
made a
psak
regarding Shreifa,
I think. I mean, Shlis Yaakov, sorry. Yeah. He doesn't, and he said that Lo Tova Asa. He said, you pass me like immediately, and I think he ends up being cholik on his psak. But said, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and you look carefully, said that's not exactly what the psak would have been. Right. So let me just add to that also, on two sides. The, you know, there's a huge debate about, you know, the role of codes and what impact codes on the book level. That's what you should be looking at. Do you have to go back to the Talmud, or you can rely on the codes, the later codes? So this too is a big issue in general. You know, the Marsha in Sota and the Maral Miprag, you know, in a famous passage also, I think here in the Baragola actually, as it happens, you know, are very, very critical of people who paskin out of the Shulchan Aruch, you know, who don't know the Sugya. And again, the Piskei Tshuva has it here also in the same Siman. Ayin Marsha, this is Siv Katan Ches. Ayin Marsha Chidush Agada Per Gimel Desota. Ubedor Salolo Osim Shemorim Alachem Bitocha Shulchan Aruch. Hare Ein Yodim Tam Inyan Shol Kol Davar Vela Yidaktiku Tchila Bedavar Bitocha Talmud. Shu Shimush Talmud Chacham. Interesting language. Taus Notal Bahora Asa. The Hare Ein Bechalam Levale Olam. Lachen Yesh Ligar Bahem. Then the Piskei Tshuva says, Efshar Dafka Bizmana Rabba Marsha. This, of course, is a big issue. I say the Maral also is very, very critical. The Maral has a comment where he says it's better to make a mistake now and then, you know, but you know, at least to be mivusas, you know, in the original makoros, you know, than just to rely on the Shulchan Aruch. This already goes back to the Gonim. And there's a tshuva of the Rimigash where there's a debate about this point already in the time of the Rishonim. And of course, every stage of codification in Jewish history, you know, this came up. You know, it's people said, "Oh, you mean people didn't want to call the Rambam, you know, Yad Chazaka, but Mishnah Torah." You know, they didn't want to call it Mishnah Torah because they really were offended by his, you know, Hagdama, that, you know, all you have to do is look, you know, look at me. Again, and of course, it's tremendously ironic because, you know, everything that we, anytime we ever mention the Rambam, which we do, I think, quite often mention the Rambam, right, this year, you know, all we're trying to do again and again and again, like a broken record, but, you know, I hope it's not a broken record, but it's because I really, really believe it, you know, and I believe it and I'm excited by it, is try to show how the Rambam's, you know, psakim, you know, reflect an unbelievable engagement, you know, like a very creative engagement, you know, with the sugyas and with the global, you know, topic. So if the Rambam wasn't somebody who appreciated, you know, the need to, like, immerse yourself, you know, in the totality of the sources and the system, he couldn't have come up with the psakim that he came up with. If he was just interested in, you know, in appeasing, you know, the from community and, you know, kind of, you know, copying down some psakim so everybody could get to philosophy, you know, he did a very, very time-consuming, you know, turn. And, you know, basically, you know, threw so much mental energy and whatever into it that it's just shocking. That's my way of saying that that's absurd. So, meaning, but when the Rambam came out, part of the criticism was, you know what, you're you want to disentangle this from the Gemara. So it sounds like he did a little bit, but it's just, you know, it kind of shockingly ironic or just shocking, given that, you know, the whole Mishnah Torah, you know, reflects more than any other work probably, you know, that level and the impact and the benefit of that level of engagement. So anyway, this is an old topic. Whenever there's a codification, you know, we have this Bismaneinu. I've spoken about this a lot. You know, in the, you know, the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah became the new. The Mishnah Berurah basically, you know, buried the old Shulchan Aruch, and that's a tragedy because he definitely didn't want to do that. He wanted to update it and upgrade it, and he himself in his Akdama and other things tells you how important it is. And as I've said many times, you can really appreciate the Mishnah Berurah, and especially in the Be'er Halacha, you know, only if you really know, you know, what came before and what the other people say. But that's not the way that people have taken it, right? They've taken it as, you know, it's like, you know, even the Psukim, you know, in Bereishis are quoted out of the Mishnah Berurah now, you know, so not just by Eli and by me, you know, but by other people, right? So the this is a very fascinating issue. So on the one hand, the books and the new books, and on the other hand, there is this other issue and other question as well. Regarding Bifnei Rabo, in a similar vein, so the, you know, and the question of whether or not it's kavod alone or it's other thing. So the Piskei Tshuva has a very interesting discussion. Let's say you're not Bifnei Rabo when the question was asked. You know, let's say somebody brought you a behema and, you know, he was hungry and you know, the Rebbe was traveling. You know, and you paskind. That's three cases. You paskind, but the animal's still alive, and then Rebbe came home, or came within three parsos, or you're in the middle of the psak, right? Does the din of Bifnei Rabo apply or not? So that's another interesting piskei tshuva. Here, b'stapik b'din tshuvas beis Yaakov. This is Os Sadalin. Right, also the holders, if there are tokim parsos, so may Rabba chutzli gimel parsos, v'hor ha-ro l'hachshir ha-behema, achar kach bar Rabba tokim parsos ha-behema kayemes, yichayv lishol es Rabba v'maskim l'ho-ro also, v'im eno shoal, inayma d'ahava kemora ho-ro ha-lifnei Rabba. Onayma, kivin shekvar ho-yisal raso, kedin, kivin sh-Rabba ha-ya-oz chutzli gimel parsos, ain't tzorach lishol. Behevi raya, tried to bring raya from Tosan Dapte Tess, that ain't tzorach lishol, v'im be'emtza ho-ro, maybe does. So then he says, even if he's afshio de lahechana denota, if the Rebbe comes back in time, also lahoros, but if he's in the middle or it's done, mishuv tzidei lahatir lefiatam sharm, this is so interesting, mishum de lo estaya milsa, lahoros kalacha, b'kai gabra l'shayich zeshio de hadin alburio, kodim shenoda l'shaba rabo. Again, if the estaya milsa is a problem of, he wasn't a sufficient, yore elokim, because he should have waited, so he doesn't get the benefit of the. That's not the case here. He got the full siyata d'shmaya. But then he says, "V'li ani yazdaiti ein the mechuver." The mash amrav on pisha amar abaya lo mishum dechazi afkirusa lo mishum leistai milsa hakavana de lo mishum echsei kafkirusa lechud. But it's also istai milsa, right? The chay mash betosas sham, right? In the case of machal. And, you know, that's an interesting question. What is the istai milsa? Then he says, maybe this chasidus, in his opinion, you should be shawl even after the fact. But it's, again, it's a great, because there's no problem of kavod, for sure. He did it already, right? But this is a question, and that's why he connects it to istai milsa and what istai milsa means. We'll get back to istai milsa a little bit later. But, so these are some of the issues. Okay. Anyways, going back to the question of svarim, which is part of this. So you have, svarim on all sides, whether you can rely only on the svarim, whether, you know, with svarim, and so on. So, in terms of the Rishonim, we have three interesting makoros and the way that they are handled. One is like Gosma Munios. In anybody have it? Tils Talmud Torah Perikei Halacha Gimel? Or Os Gimel? This is often quoted. But the truth is, you have it, Isaac? Yeah, so that's an important corrective too. Namely, you know, how do you know, if it's really the Shaila, fine, let's say there's. You know, there's a little bit more of a nuance here to try to apply, you know, that not. But the idea that you can quote Piskei Gaonim, and that's not a violation of Lifnei Rabo, that's the Chiddush that the Hagos Mamunios quotes here. But in theory, that could be very, very limited to, again, that's another way of saying, not that Lifnei Rabo, you know, is neutralized by books or by access. That's another way, perhaps, of saying that we've expanded, you know, we've raised the threshold of biata, you know, bekutcha, and you know, this is dvar mishnah now, right? It's a, you know, it becomes a zilkari, you know, beirav. Okay, but it's interesting, and it's quoted by some, this Hagos Mamunios, to prove that once you have svarim, maybe there's no din of rabo anymore. That's probably not what he meant. What he meant was, there's fully a din of rabo, but it's not biyata bekutcha anymore. Okay. But this is a very fine line. That's the point I was trying to make before. The smak, yeah.
How do you explain the gemara about?
Because Megillas Tainis, the way the Rishonim say it is that, you know, the Shoel doesn't know about Megillas Tainis. That's a question in general, right?
Shoel has to know, right?
According to Bali Tosfos,
the
Hagos Mamunios doesn't himself say, but what he seems to be saying is that that Biyata Bekutcha and Sar Sakina and Megillas Tainis of the Gemara are less established, in at least in the eyes of the Shoel, right, or maybe even objectively, than Piskei Agonim. That's what he seems to be saying. Now again, that is something that not about the Piskei Agonim. That is something that Bali Tosfos and the Rosh say as well. They say, "Oh, no, Saint Tam Levgam," right? That's more, you know, self-evident than Bia Tabakutka. Even well, their Bia Tabakutka isn't Rashi's Bia Tabakutka, but at least then Megillas Tainis. Now, why that should be so? Megillas Tainis is strange. I totally agree with you, but somehow
he doesn't seem to qualify. What kind of psak is getting
psak? What kind of psak?
Well, I mean, he doesn't seem to qualify like how difficult the psak is. It just seems to be whatever's in the cloud.
You say the words of Piskei Gaonim in that era, it's like saying it's a pasuk in Chumash. I think that's how you have to read it. I agree with you that if you look, we'll see in a moment, the Marik doesn't like it at all.
I'm saying the Gilas Tainis is written down. Also,
it is written down, but maybe it isn't written. It's a list, and maybe it doesn't have that level of authority. Meaning, I'm guessing. But I think it is Tamu. I think Megillas Tainis is the most difficult of the three. The Smak Tzirich, which we also have. You have it, Isaac?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think there are two interesting, before we even continue. So number one, he's saying that the psakim come from Omek. First of all, beautiful language there, you know, of their analysis and so on. But then what he's doing is, you know, even as he's making this a little bit about, or a lot about, the quality of the psak, he's telling you the impact of the quality of psak on the question of kavod. This is an atara problem, because this is considered to be consequential, you know, as an area, right? Because they have a hand in forming the psak, and it's not considered just mar makom, therefore it's a kisron shel, you know, shel rabeim, you know, it's a man malki rabban, it's a kabod issue. Keep going. First of all, kolkach, but the point is not so much that, oh, it's a double posture, it's bia. This to me is not the hagos mamunios. This is not, oh, this is no longer even bia tabakutka. It's, this is no longer a violation of kvod rabo, but because of the fact that the, you know, that the ease of coming to the conclusion makes it less consequential. Is that the end of it or more? Yeah, b'fun of mamish, that's also interesting, is still zilzul and kavod, you know, that remains. You could have said there are two dinim, and you could have said that, you know, as far as the quality of the psak is concerned, this is not an issue, and it's, the only thing is kvod rabo, but that's b'fun of mamish. But that's not the way that this maksirich is saying it, and I think this is a very interesting, once again, an interesting combination. Now, the Orchas Chaim is yet a third formulation in the Rishonim. You have that also? It's also in the Kamoi?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I have it in my trusty Orchas Chaim, but go ahead, read it in yours. That is the most radical of the three. Wow.
Okay.
Wow, that's a big, big statement. Right? Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. So this, of course, is the most, but, and here again, it's a slightly different formulation. See the three that we were talking about in our abstract, you know, discussion, but, you know, not coincidentally, but namely that this is, has to do with the whole concept of Rebbe and Talmud. Okay. Now, Lecha Mishnah and Halacha Dalid also discusses this a little bit. Who has that? He's wondering, he's bothered by the question, well, how come in the Shulchan Aruch it appears, but in the Rambam it doesn't, that for a person to be Mor Hora, he should be 40 years old. I mean, he should have a certain level of maturity, a certain level of experience, but even more than that, a certain level of, you know, maturity and being, you know, a settled person in terms of perspective and so on. Well, what happened to the 40 years old in the Rambam? Who has the Rabbi have it? Anybody? Isaac, go ahead.
Trying to be the answer?
The, yeah, just, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So basically, this is a much more limited, it's the same idea, but this has nothing to do with the Rebbe Talmud relationship at all. This has nothing to do with you know, how we define Bia Tabakutcha, etc. It does have to do with, again, how you know, when a person becomes a seasoned or mature Talmud Chacham. Even if you hold that it's a din in Chachma, by the way, I should just add, you know, Ein Adam Omed Al Das Rabo, etc. There are exceptions to that. It's not purely intellectual, clearly. it's also meant to be a certain level of maturity, understanding of the system. Shimusho, gadol milimudo, just that, there's a broad age for that, and of course there are people who can be 90 and not get it, and there are people who can be 30 or 26 or whatever it is, and get it very much, or 18 maybe even, and get it. But here again, the Lechem Mishnah is using the same idea, but in much more limited fashion. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in Reish Mem Beis Tes.
The Lechem Mishnah.
Yeah.
And he
continues there, right? That's then he adds on like the Orchis Chaim. But again, it doesn't appear. It's funny because I'm glad you mentioned that part. A, because he expands it, but B, it's what's interesting about it is that he starts off by asking a question of the Rambam, and he's suggesting that the Rambam is integrating the perspective of Mipi Sofrim and not Mipi. I mean, between Sfarim and not Mipi Sofrim, and therefore he's dropping Arba'im Shana. But of course, as we know, the Rambam does not at all drop Bifnei Rabo. In some respects, the Rambam expanded Bifnei Rabo in terms of the more kavua aspects of it, and even in terms of medrash and yeshiva, and so on. So I think it's interesting that the Lechem Mishnah wanted to go further with it, but that, it's not credible in the Rambam, and we'll see in a moment. What about the Shulchan Aruch? So the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Reish.
Well, that's still be a din b'chokhmah, that when he says ke'in's the din of Orah of Mishnah.
Say that again? That so it sounds like it, that too should be a din of chokhmah, because otherwise what's the comparison? So even that ends up again being about tochen, or about the tochen that, like we said in Tzmach Tzirik, that impacts on kavod in terms of being consequential or being a chalos. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Beis Sif Tes just quotes the Hagos Mamunios part. Yesh Mishakasav Shakala Kasav Besvarim Yes Yesh Mishakasav Mipiske Agaonim Yachal Horas Bimei Rabo. That's quoted from the, Hagos Maimonios. That's a Yesh Mishakasa, but that appears in Shulchan Aruch. But again, that's in terms of, that's in the context where he's writing about what is Hora. Right? The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Zayin, Lo Mikri Hora, Elika Shemora, Maisa Shabalafana, based on, this too is based on the, on the Rishonim, Tosis and the Rush, as the Baragola says, Lo mikri haralim kishmora maisa shabalafanav avlim sholu talmud halacha kedivrei mi yuchalom ar mashav dato kivin she'ena mora maisa shabalafanav. The poskim all point out, but if somebody asked him on a maisa shabalafanav, who do we paskin like, that would also be considered hara. You could have thought that also, because you're just saying who the halacha is like, you're not saying anything more than that. So that's a debate already among the poskim, which is fascinating. Okay, but anyways, this is a Shulchan Aruch stab at trying to find what is Mar Makom basically and what is Hora. Then he says Lo Mikra Hora Ela B'Davar Sheish Bo Chiddush L'Shoel. That's also based on Bali Tosis, and again, not everybody agrees. Aval Hora Yedua She Pshuta L'Kol Kago Nosen Tam L'Fkam L'Vata Isu B'Shishim Kiyot Zebelim Mutter. And then the next halacha, Yesh Mishakasav, Shakala Kasav, Bisrav, Piska Agonim, Yachal Horus, Bimei Rabo, Rakala Yorad Over Miliba, Vali Yismach Al Rayosav, Ladamas Milsav, Biatzmo. So clearly, again, he understands, as it is, the Agos Mamunios, idea, and it has to do with the quality or the threshold of what's Biata Bekutcha, and so on, and what's a Dabar Pasha, Zilkar, Beira. By the way, the next one, I should just add, he has it not integrated like the Agos Mamunios, but the next one, Yesh Mishakasav Shasal L'Chacham L'Hatir Davar Tamua Shenir L'Rabim Shehitir Sa'asur. And then some of the Nosen Kalim discuss, what if he publicizes his reasons, whether that mitigates this in any way or not. Anyway, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Very interesting. The Marik in that piece in Kuf Samach Tes base discusses this question and takes a very strong stand. Anybody see that part of the Marik? I didn't tell you which parts of the Marik to see in Kuf Samach Tes base, so I intended that there's so many good, interesting things, and it has so much impact on these discussions that people should read the whole thing, but I don't know if you did. Nobody? 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 What? He makes a whole distinction.
He disagrees with
all. Oh, no, yeah. So mostly he makes, yeah. He basically says, but the lines are terrific, aren't they? You saw it, right, Isaac?
Yeah, very quickly.
Are they terrific lines or no?
You quickly saw it.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I only want you to say what you really think.
Quick.
You don't remember the lines. So I guess they weren't so terrific. So let everybody else judge between me and Isaac. Oh, the wrong one. Listen to this. See, these kind of forays are good because the Ribosh, the Radvaz, you also get a sense who these people were, and you know they're just like one after the other. You know, the language. Okay. So here he has this discussion. With the cause of Mar, lehodiacha daitia ketzar binyan atalmidim sheosin sraro morim hara etzor abanim ayishishim. Right, you have these elderly rabbanim and these young whippersnapper upstart rabbis, who want to issue their own psakim l'shem shemayim. Obviously, haloyadati kilo legamri velo lesavri. It's so good because, tzorich mar. In other words, what are you asking me? So you can already see where he's going with this. Umikamokam kasher omra. I was saying, zecharna lebracha dein mesarv legadol. Right, agaladaiti hakatzara. So he's injecting the proper level of piety, into this discussion here. So you probably know where he's going. The he devadai pshita imhem talmidim uvhakim delav shaper avdi v'afil lekva medrash asur k'nekasa rabbeinu Moshe. The afal gab the kasa of mar shekasa b'smak tzirich. Right, b'shem maram devadai b'mei tanaim v'amaraim. So he's basically saying, what about this smak tzirich? Right? He says, that's mikol makom nira the ein shara poskim arishonim kibar Rabbeinu Moshe ben maimon v'achronim kigon balaturim sovrim kain midakosvu stam. That's number one. And then he goes, what will you say that they're writing for the time of the Talmud? This is also just why it's such a good line. Lo ba'u, sharei lo ba'u lahagid lanu adina masher enam noagim bizman hazeh, ulahaster mimenu osa noagim v'chalila lo marchein. V'aflivu l'divrei osa haga, meaning that view of the smak tzirich, libi omer li, this is conviction, sharotz lomar da'af agabdi bimea Talmud aya osa lahoros b'chal inyan, Akshav ein osa lahoros b'chol inyan. Klomar heches shaharam b'vueres b'poskim. He basically takes the smak tzirich and turns it into the hagos maimunios. Right? Which it isn't. Aval heches she'enem b'vueres hech nuchalomar shakol advarim ksuvim. I mean, it has nothing to do with the relationship of Revi and Talmud. It only has to do with the quality of certain psakim. Vareyanu roim, this is also really interesting. Kolayamim, shaharbe v'harbe sveikos noflos ben alamdanim, vein ish yachalamad al biru adavar, afilim kolaposkim. You can have all the books and all the Bar Ilan discs that you want, and there's still going to be a lot of ambiguities and gray areas, both in terms of figuring out who to paskin like, and especially to be medama milsa lemilsa to really figure out in a particular case. The gamrova dvarim. You don't think this was good? Right? Nechleku ga'one olam. The tzar chachma yaseira lahachriya b'mi roi linhog. V'hine emes kaisi savor d'l'inin mash amru shosu yal ro al yore. Right? This is where we get to the point I made before. Meaning, on all these issues, right, there are numerous dinim of chacham and numerous dinim of rabo. There's an avelus aspect and a misim aspect and Bifnei Rabo aspect, the Shasui, all Yore, in terms of that's the quality of Psak aspect, right? What impact does, publishing or evolution of halacha in terms of, traditional norms have on all these things? The answer is Yesh Makom, right? L'chalek b'neiam. So what he's saying is when it comes to Shasui al Yore, that's when the Smak Tzirich, may be correct. Avalola Inin. Which is where he says it, by the way. He's also bothered by your question of Megillas Tainus. Right? The Nachsol Dvarenu, Devade Nir Lanias Daiti, the Ein Lahakel Lahoros Talmidim Bimakom Rabam, Afila Bizman Azeh. But then he adds, and this is very, very important, Amnam Dafka Batalmid Muvak Ladivir Rabbi Chaygon, Veriv, Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon, Rabbi Shaim Betrani, Rabbi Asher, Bno Balaturim, Shapasku Kula Karab Yudah B'Sofel Mitzios, Deboy She Rabba Muvak, Sharov Chachmasim Imenu. Aval Ein Rov Chachmasim Imenu, Ein Tzarech Linog Shum Kavod, Rak Linyan Kriya Shakore Alav, Kal Misha Misabel Alav. There's another big issue in this whole topic, and that is the relationship between, as we know from the Gemara Neiravin, right, Talmid Chaver and Talmid Muvak. And the problem is that there's a machlokes, how to define Talmud Muvak and Talmud Chaver. And there are also, there's a machlokes in some places, and there's also indications that in different contexts we accept different definitions. Right? What is Rabba Muvak? Misha Lamad Rimenu Rav Chachmaso, and is that methodology? You know, what exactly is it? And what's Talmud Chaver? Right? So what's fascinating is that the Marik takes a very strong stand on Talmud Muvak, and he also takes a very strong stand that Talmud Chaver has a tremendous amount of independence. But he wants to be mechalek between, that's both in terms of being mechalek between Talmud Muvak and Talmud Chaver, and also in terms of picking which of the definitions apply. His Hagdara of Talmud Muvak here is the narrowest, I mean the one which there's the greatest relationship and reliance. Okay, we're not going to go into all the details. V'afilu divrei Rabbeinu Chanan v'Rav Yosi pasuk k'Rav Yosi d'amar hasam. V'afilu lo heir eina v'la mishna achaz zehu. V'afilu achi nira l'anias daiti d'lo amar Rav Yosi sh'yischai b'chal advarim sh'katzav Rabbeinu misham. Ela dafka linin kriya d'Rav Yuda ein tzorach l'kro alav Ela kaladam kosher of Rabbi Yosi tzorach lekral of kerashena mesacha. There were machmir in a wider definition of Talmud Muvak, or we accept certain, we include according to some shitas, you know, Talmud Chaver, but not when it comes to these other issues, because in the other issues there's obviously a counter pressure of, you know, independent psak, maybe the benefits of people who are independent in their thinking and psak. V'kein tzarech she'yamud b'panav, afil nasa talmud adam gadol l'muflag mikomakom tzarech l'amud b'panav, amida b'fnei rabo. You know, there we can be machmir. V'ashe'en ken Rabbi Yehuda. But when it comes to elevada, afil Rabbi Yosi morid rabo she'en amuvak l'chashiv kimo aviv, who talks about the issues of avi rechav Yisrael. You know, what do we mean by that in terms of hashavas aveda? And other such things as well. Okay, so basically, the possibility of being mechalek between shasui al yoreb, bimakom rabo, kriya ba'avel, amida, misim, all of these things, in all of these issues, is something which is very, very, very compelling. Yeah. We should also note that, consistent with this, the Marik, who is the one who codifies the din of, you know, being kafuf, you know, with regard to the nismach to the somech, he's much more comfortable in a real Rebbe Talmud relationship than he is in a formal masmich. In other words, if the administrators are signing the smichas, so according to the marik, right, you don't owe them, I'm not saying everybody agrees, as much as you owe the Rebbe. That's part of the analysis of the Marik in the continuation. This is all part of his view that the relationship of Talmud and Rebbe is really an essential defining one, and doesn't matter how many Svarim are out there, again, that Shimusho methodology, the attunement, the Dmus Diukno, he doesn't say all this, I'm saying in his name, but obviously he considers all of these things, you know, to be intangibles that are very critical. But that's true for Rabbo, right, where you have this father relationship and so on. It's not true, you know, for the Chacham Ha'ir or some other Talmud Chacham who might be necessary to sanction you and therefore might have a little Srar over you, but you can't compare. These are really two completely different ideas. What's also fascinating is how you define Rabbo. What about Misha Limdo Pilpul but, you know, as opposed to Misha Limdo Derech Hapsak. And what do we mean by Pilpul here? Do we mean the ingenuity of Pilpul as opposed to like a Derech HaLimud, which is more, let's say, substantive? That too is a whole discussion in the Marik. Marik is very dismissive of your Pilpul teacher. And that, of course, gets codified, I should note, also in the Shulchan Aruch. In Simen Reish Mem Beis Sif Lamed, based on the discussion of the... again, Pilpul Shel Hevel is a question of what you mean by it each time. It's something that Tosis, of course, dismisses in, you know, B'yodah L'taher Sasheretz. We already discussed that on Yud Zayin, Tosis on Yud Zayin. And of course, the Maral and others rail against this as well. The question is what it means. But in Sif Lamed in Shulchan Aruch, Kol Eilo Advarim Shomer Shetzorich Lechabed Esrabo Lomer LeBerabo Muvak Tainu Shirov Chachmasu Mimenu. This is based on the Marik again. In Mikra, Mikra, Mishnah, Mishnah, and Gemara, Gemara. He does think that there are different disciplines in Torah, each of which could have a separate Rebbe Muvak, right? Mikra, Mikra, Mishnah, Mishnah, Gemara, Gemara. The Mikra, Mikra, Eli and I have to figure out what that means. Right? But it probably means that the lecture that I keep threatening to give about how Torah Shor Mitzav is the ultimate, you know, lumdus of Torah Shor Peh. Anyways, but that's part of the... Then the Rama says, Ubiyamin Elu, Iker HaRabbanus Einotoli B'Misha Limdo HaPilpul V'Chilukim Shenogim Ben Bezman Hazeh Rak Misha Limdo Psak Halacha V'Ha'iyun V'Hemidu Ala Emes V'Hayosher. This is a quote of the Marik. He quotes Marik. אבל אם לא למד רוב חכמוסו ממנו, אין החייב לחבד בכל דברים האלו, אבל עומד מלפניו, מי שיגיע לדל רמוסו, קורא אליו כשהוא קורא כל המסים, שהוא מסעב עליהם, אפילו לא למד. So this is all from this is all the impact of the Marik. This isn't just a random tshuva, you know, from Bar Ilan. This is, you know, a critical tshuva that formed, as the Mariks in general are, you know, especially in this topic, huge impact in Shulchan Aruch. What's also fascinating is that the Marik, even as he's very big on Rabbo, but remember, why is he so big on Rabbo? Not pure Kavod. Because he believes that the Kavod part really impacts the content and the substance. So because of that, he also is very strong on, he says, let's say you have a Talmud Muvak, but he grows, he's Nischachem, and then it's Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Right? So he really is a Barhachi. You're going to keep him down and not allow him, you know, to argue with the Rebbe, right? So this is an interesting, very critical question. 1 second. Again, we're going to finish with this, so, you know. Again, the Pilpul parts are on page 190 here. Asher kasafta sheikar rabbanus toli bepilpul, or mani delav klala devani mishalom lefnei rabo perikzvan. That's what got codified in the Shulchan Aruch. But in the thing I'm looking for now is also on page 190, I think. 1 second. You have it?
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he gives an example of Rabbi Baruch and Reish Lakish, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, good. So excellent. So it's interesting here, again, a really fascinating piece, which is very lemaisa, both halacha and especially in hashkafa, and is just fascinating, is that, again, we know that these halachos are, you know, they seem very restrictive, very draconian in some sense, right? But we're trying to explain how it's all about a certain process and perspective, and that's why they're good. Again, the Rambam allows for akroi anyway. It's a question of kviyas. But these halachos are about situations of being mora bifnei rabo, even in a situation where presumably you're going to agree with the Rebbe. Right? You could have started yeshiva according to his derech. You're going to give the psak that he would give. There's no evidence that we're talking about contrary psakim. Right? And yet, you have these limitations which we're all trying to understand. Right? So if I asked you, and what if the guy disagrees? What if the Talmud disagrees? So you could take one of two approaches here. Right? One is, kol shekein. I mean, if he can't say what the Rebbe would say, you know, because that's mered, then kol shekein, he can't go against him. But there's another way to look at all this, and that is that when, you know, the Talmud is in the, you know, on two levels. On a kavod level, you know, all there is the question of kavod, because there's no nafkamina. Moreover, even on a substance level, you could say, you know what, he's coming to the same conclusion, you know, and he's the mentor. You know, he's the original. So, the, you know, the Talmud is being medama milsa lemilsa, he has less experience, he's applying the Rebbe's methodology, but if the Rebbe himself says it, it's a stronger psak. But when it's contrary, right? So, number one, at one level you'd think, well, for sure, he doesn't have a leg to stand on, and it's a bigger chutzpah. But on another level, right, it's two things. Number one, from a kavod point of view, it's, you know, kol mokom sheish chil Hashem ein chol ken kavod l'rav. It's amita shel Torah that's pushing him, not grabbing the atara. Right, it's halachic, maybe it is a kavod problem, but it's a halachic truth problem against a kavod problem, which either neutralizes kavod problem or maybe overrides the kavod problem. As far as the methodology and so on and so forth, so if I see it the same way, and I'm, you know, that's fine, but if I really do see it totally differently, you know, maybe we don't assume that the Rebbe is right. Right, it's a different way of thinking, it's a different mahalach in the whole process. So it's an interesting question whether or not, in light of all this, right? Now again, you also have the Gemara Neirvin, codified in the halacha, of Lafrushe Meisura. But Lafrushe Meisura, the Pashtus, is a case where the Rebbe would agree also Lafrushe Meisura. Right? Right? Just that he's not around to say it, or he's just not saying it, or he doesn't realize that that's what's going on. In Lafrushe Meisura, there's a debate among the Rishonim already, and certainly among the Poskim, and what about Safek Afrushe Meisura? But either way, we could pose this question too. You know, Afrushe Meisura, where the Rebbe thinks otherwise, but you think it's Afrushe Meisura, both in terms of mitigating the kavod or overriding the kavod, you know, what happens there? This is a really, obviously, important question, and a really interesting question. So in Shulchan Aruch, basically what the Marik is saying is, if you have this chachem, then, you know, he can do it. And in Shulchan Aruch, the way it gets written is, Ezu cholek al rabo, right, this is Sif Gimel, kol shekovelo medrash, v'yoshe v'doresh, u'malamed, shelo b'rshus rabo, v'rabo kayam, afapi shehu b'medina acheres. Good. Then the Ramah adds, aval mutar lachlok olav be'ez psak ohora, in the Ramah, he quotes this. He quotes from the Trumas Hadeshin, right? Piske Marai Simin Reish Lamed Ches. Right, that's the Trumas Hadeshin. So if he, you know, but it's interesting. So on the one hand, the Ramah allows for disagreement. On the other hand, he says only it's B'Mokom Sheyesh Rayos. Right. The Shach, and this is again so fascinating because it's similar to what I said about the Rambam before, in a way. There's no more, to use Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik's terminology, magisterial, you know, personality than the Shach. You know, the Shach was, we've discussed this in the past, especially, you know, when we learn Choshen Mishpat and we see some Shachs. You know, the Shach was to say he was a very confident man is not quite capturing it. He was a very decisive, you know, person, and one who was ruled by his convictions, right? When the Shach thinks something is correct, you know, it's not sufficient for him to tell you, you know, that it's correct. He'll also try to show you, because he believes it, that every single posek, you know, out there believes it too. And he'll do it. Why am I telling you that? So it's just interesting to note that in Sif Katan Gimel, the Shach says, Umidivrei Marik, say Marik, right? They all keep saying Kufain, but it's really Kufsamak Taz. Lo Nira Kain. Why? Shekosav Sham Lo Chiach, Afilah Hoya Talmido, Im Achakach Nischachim, Yochol Lachlok Olav, Lahoros Befanav, Afilah Lahalacha, Bima Shecholek Reish Lakash Al Rab Yochanan. Okay, so far so good. Sounds like the Marik says that if the guy has strong conviction, he could, right? So listen to this. So the Shach says, "V'dochek lomar de kimle de reish lakish lo yecholek ela misvara." Ulainin Mashahevi Maraisham Raya Shakaka Darka Shaltora Mimosa Tanaim Damaroim Ugonim the Kamaka the Marais list of Trubus and listen, we wouldn't have Makloksim, right, if everybody was Kafu Flirabo intellectually too. So if he really has a strong conviction and given that he has Kvod Rabo, it's almost like our Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, you know, Dayan Eini Yodei idea, meaning he knows what the Rebbe says. He's still, you know, going differently. He knows what Kvod Rabo is. So the Truma says that Kachi Darka Shal Torah, you know, the Kvod HaTorah Ani Doresh, right? That's the, you know, the exchanges in the Balamor and the Agdama, the Balamor, the Ramban, the Ravid, you know, and so on. So this is quite interesting. That's what the Trumas Hadeshin says. But the Shach wants him a dayik from the Marik that when it has to be, you need two conditions. Number one, Nischachem Kemoso, right? Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, meaning they became equals. And number two, he's assuming that when Reish Lakish is going to argue with Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Marik, it's only Berayos. But let's say he said, I argue with you, Bismara. Now again, I think this is fascinating because, you know, arguing Misvara is surely, in some respects, less compelling than arguing for Raya's, but it's also not a whim and it's not arbitrary, right, as we like to say. The Svara is your global understanding of something, right? And it flows in a certain, sometimes it flows from a deeper place than the Raya's. Maybe the point is that you also don't have, you can't mobilize Raya's. Okay. Which isn't necessarily chisaron, but if you have a deep conviction and you can also mobilize rayas, that's the best of both worlds. But what the Shach is saying is, if you don't have rayas, you know, and you're not Reish Lakish, if either of those is missing, meaning Reish Lakish with the svara couldn't argue, this is the Shach talking, or a lesser Talmud with rayas can't argue. That's his debate with, or he's mistopic at least with regard to the issue of so again the Piskei Tshuva here Ayim B'Tshuva Saradvaz Achadashos Tav Tzadihe. Again, you have to look these things up. This is the Tshuva. I'm just not going to be able to do it, but I gave you a Tshuva to look at of the Yabetz Shelis Yabetz Ayin Shelis Yabetz Chelik Aleph Simen He Sheheri Charbe Bazeh V'Himtzi Asara Pratim Binyan Zeh. It's like 10, you know, 10 conditions. Now again, you have to appreciate that the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you know, what I just said about the Shach is, you know, at least is true for Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right? You know, I don't know if he was ever mistopic about anything, you know. I shouldn't say that. But, he was a very decisive, very confident person. If he staked, you know, his, you know, he took no prisoners, basically, you could say. Very, very bold posek. And very, very certain of his convictions. So he has klalim on this. Then Ayin Chivas Chuta Shani, Shagod Alechet Hitra Emalav, Al Hasagaso Al Gedole Kadmonim. Right? You say, how could you argue with the Gedole Kadmonim? Right? And not only that, but to make insult to injury, to add insult. Magam Lomar Di Shtamet Luhudivre Ashas Vaposkim. Sometimes he writes in the Tshuva, no, I don't understand how you could hold this way. Did you forget a Gemara here and a Posek there? So how can you talk that way to the Gedole Kadmonim? Right, the Heishivel. So he answered him, "Ein al zeh lehitra'em, ki chein matzina b'mechabrim shemachol dar v'dar shelo nimnu lahasig al gedolim shelifneiam." This is kachi darka shel Torah, basically. V'zeh lashon ishtamitetei hu lakuach me'ashas. I'm not the first person to say, "Oh, did you forget a Gemara? Did you, you know, forget the shekein matzino kama pa'amim shamro al gedolim amarayim v'hu lashon nekiya v'derech kavod." Lomar debosa shah nishmat mimenu. I guess there are ways to say it, right? Ki hashikcha hi teva enoshit kolelet kol ha'ishim. This is also just poignant a little bit. Vein chiluk bein rav lema'at v'sham timatze b'kiyus niflos in the tshuva v'ayin sefer shtei yados. Okay, anyways, you see what's going on here. It's really, where do you draw the line? Obviously there are, you know, there's a way to talk and, you know, there's much to overcome when you disagree with a Rebbe or with Kadmonim. But of course the other side of it is, you know, the search for truth. And, you know, that either overrides or constitutes, you know, basically cuts into the zilzal. There's no zilzal if it's Kavod HaTorah. certainly, Zilzal HaTorah. Part of what we were discussing was, this is Kavod HaTorah, or it's Kavod HaRebbe, in a more personal way. Both of those are mitigated by the search for truth, and the balance between these things is very important. Again, Lafrushe Meisura allows you to operate B'Kvod Rabbo. The cases of the Gemara are cases where there's not necessarily a substantive argument, but we say Kol Mokom Sheish Chil Hashem Ein Kolkin Kavod L'Rab. That means Chil Hashem, the Rabbonu Shalom's Kavod overrides the Rebbe's Kavod, or it also means even more than that. It's not Kvod Rabbo if the reason is Kvod HaTorah. Right? And some formulations say that explicitly as well. So getting back just to the final point on that, so there's a lot more in this, of course, and in what constitutes a hora, for all these dinim, and how it fits in with Dvar Mishnah and Shikol HaDas and Elu Ve'Elu and Kimle, all these things are interconnected. They're amazing. But just to sum up, as I was saying before about, Svarim and Sofrim, so I like the Marik very much, both aspects. On the one hand, that there's a legitimate independence for people who have the qualification and so on, with Raya, without Raya, that's a fascinating argument. But at the same time, just because there are published books doesn't mean you still don't need a methodology, and it doesn't mean you don't need guidance, and it doesn't mean you don't need attunement, and it doesn't mean that you don't need muzdyukno, the betunim bedin, and the sense of, siag and so on. These are not contradictory. The presence of books is a chumrah, and it also is a kula. It, demands more of you, and it also frees you a little bit from some of the more draconian aspects of Rabbo. But at the same time, there are aspects of Rabbo that are irreplaceable. And I say this is a big, big issue today, where people have just access to everything. Also we live in an era where everybody's blogging and everybody's very enamored with their own opinion. So again, a measure of independence and search for truth, these are very critical aspects of halacha, and they for sure have to be integrated, into the process. But, there's also, with a measure of humility and when within these strictures. The computer programming, aspect of it, in particular, we've spoken about this in the past, on the one hand gives you tremendous access, but, the way that you get it, which is no longer because you've proven, to have a certain level of bekius, or have gone through certain things, which is also part of the filtering process and the education process, on the one hand, you don't need to do that, and you get all these amazing sources, and the sources are often very important. But because you're not going through that, and it's not a function of you A, miss things, B, you have this heady sense that you're really on top of things or controlling things that you not necessarily are, and moreover you don't have the shimusho yosem limudo or the seasoning or the metunim bedin aspect of it, because it's all a couple of keys and keystrokes and you're there. You have to fight against that, is what I'm saying. It's a tool, it can be amazing, it definitely can contribute much, and you have to be careful about it. And you have to be careful about the quality, of things as well. Not everything that is published, is equal. The computer screen doesn't discriminate. Moreover, as we've said before, the computer screen will give you material that is 500 years old or 1,000 years old or 200 years old, which may have been in the process of halachic evolution rejected by the mainstream, and the computer screen doesn't tell you that either. So there's a lot, there's a new challenge, if you will, of Svarim and Sofrim. It's not all negative, like most things. There's a lot that's positive and that you can capitalize on as opportunities. There's tremendous things out there. But, it requires wisdom and a classical orientation with it. You have to be driven by the classical orientation, and then you can add all these other things, in a very constructive way. Okay, this is taking much longer than I thought. Obviously, we're not going to get to the... I was going to speak about the Ramban and the Vikuach today and the Rambam. I guess we'll leave that to next Monday. But let me just get through a couple more points quickly. This is kind of Ashkafa Halacha, a little bit, right? Yeah, Shlomo? Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask Yonatan, but I wasn't sure what he was going to say. So, no. Okay. So another point that the Marik makes, which is very, very important. Nah, I'm totally joking. I said that for cheap thrill, you know, cheap laughs.
In that case, now you shouldn't be sure. I don't know.
What? Yeah, I'm saying I didn't mean it at all. Is the discussion of relationship between Iser and Mamon. So this is an interesting, just to sum up, you know, some of the issues, something that comes up a lot in the sugya, of course. Talmud al Yore, right? And of course it's Yore, Yore, Yadin, Yadin, Yatir, Bechoros, Yatir. One of the things that we've been discussing throughout is whether the different mikzos, halacha, different tomei halacha, you know, are treated the same or not. And again, if you were to look at this, there's much more to talk about in other areas too. But even in our sugya itself, there are some very telling, you know, perspectives. On the one hand, you know, as we say, ben dam ledin, ben din ledin, ben nega lenaga, you know, all of halacha is one, and you know, ki pale mimcha davar, you know, the Supreme Court, Bezen Hagadol, you know, surely operate, you know, in all areas, and most of the, you know, rules operate in all areas. But as we know, each tchum in halacha is also different. You know, some of the klalim are different, you know, in Torah Shebichsav, how we darshan Torah Shebichsav, who we paskin like in Torah Shebal Peh, how much evidence you need, how many dayanim you need, right? Again, hora isa v'heter requires certainly only one, and not three. And what level of edus, or I should say evidence you require, edus, nemanus, how close nemanus and edus really are, right? An important question in its own right. Do you say, you know, komakom shemina Torah shnayim, komakom shemina Torah edachar reikon shnayim? Do you say that in edachon em bisurim? What about nashim and other psule edus in isurim? Meaning the rules, you know, both in terms of who judges, what the evidence is, you know, some of the other rules are different when it comes to Isur v'Heter and Din. But we find that, you know, while we're makil in certain respects, you know, one dayan, nemanus, etc., in other areas we're machmir, right? And applying safek, for example, to Mechavel of Araya, safek Isur l'chumra, or that's a Raisa Drabanan, clearly, Dine Mamanus is reversible. Isur v'heter is, you know, Maisa Deira, and it's irrevocable. So there are reasons to think that, you know, Yesh Panim Lakan or Lakan, when it comes to trying to figure out whether the rules are more or less flexible. Even in the Gemara itself, right? So, you know, the simple pshat of the Gemara, when you read it, and many Rishonim hold this is the case, is that the Gemara is basically saying, what do you need Netilas Rishus, or maybe by extension Smicha in Yoredeo for? Right? You know, and the Gemara's Maskan is in Achanami, you know, but it's a Dinin Notom Rishus Mirabo, fine. We also know that according to the Ramban and the Chiddush Aran, that's not the pshat in the Gemara at all. What the Gemara is really saying is, who said it's sufficient in Yoredeo? You know, why is it insufficient in Yoredeya, in Isur v'Heter, to have only Smicha or Netilas Rishus? Of course you need that, but you need more. If the point is that you need more, then it's more Gomor, right? So there is a lot of, just if you're going back and forth in terms of the sugya itself, there's an interesting question, you know, about the relationships here. Does LMK Natom Rishus Mirabo apply really only to Isur v'Heter or also to Din, right? The Machlokas already in the Chiddush Aran, and the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Mabit, right? The Mabit understood that there's a difference between Bifnei Rabo and LMK Natom Rishus Mirabo, that Bifnei Rabo, there's no difference between Choshen Mishpat and anything else, and Isur v'Heter, sorry. And when it comes to LMK Natom Rishus Mirabo, then it's only Isur v'Heter. Whereas the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, as we discussed, right, seems to say that even Din has a din of LMK Natom Rishus Mirabo, which makes sense given that the Rambam, you know, and ends up integrating, you know, Yori Yora and Perek Dalet. So this is a question that we encounter numerous times, even in this topic. So, for example, the Piskei Tshuva discusses the din of Shesui Yayin, you know, that you're not supposed to be Moro Ra. And he cites a machlokas between the, who is it? The Bach and somebody else. Piskei Tshuva has here. Ah, here it is. Os Vav. Lo Yorek Kishu Shasui. Shvus Yaakov says, in the name of the Balaitur, Dafka Barasi Subheter. Of a Mutaladun Dini Mamanis, Afkishu Shasui. Achain, but Tshuva Sabach, Simin Memalev Pasak Ein Chiluk. Vamach Mir Talavala Bracha. Interesting. There's another Piskei Tshuva here. Os Tess. Ayin Sefer Mishnas Chachamim, Reisho Chosdeos. Is mistapek baha darmina misakasavo scherev vali olam al inu yadin? Is there a din of inu yadin only in dine mamanis, or also in isur v'heter, or afa horas isur v'heter? Then he says, oh, he quite tries, brings a riot from the shalah. He suggests maybe it's a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. Okay, and then he concludes that certainly for tamad horas heter isha labala there would be inu yadin, etc. Now again, there could be local reasons for some of these issues, but they are very fascinating. So among the interesting issues is also the way that the Sefer, that the Trumas HaDeshen understood the machlokas between Rashi and Tosas. And that's quoted in the Marik. And the Marik takes the Trumas HaDeshen understood that Rashi and Tosas argue whether or not Talmud al yor elim ken, if you have Rishus Mirabo, does that help you Toch Gimel Parsos or not? As we know, Tosas on Hayom Beis and Sanhedrin, our Tosas says that you know, that's what we're talking about. You know, when we talk about the Iser Chutz Mi Gimel Parsos Shalom B'Fanav, according to Tosas, that's Tosas's Shalom B'Fanav, right? We're talking about the requirement of Rishus. The implication is that that requirement doesn't help you B'Fanav Mamish, which for Tosas means Toch Gimel Parsos, right? But Rashi, you know, at least the Trumas HaDeshen is medayik that maybe Rashi disagrees. Maybe if you have Rishus Mirabo, there's no problem Bifnei Rabo either. We know this already to be part of the discussion, you know, David Bonfield, Chiddush Aran, and we discussed whether or not you can be mechalik between Bifan of Mamish and Tokim of Parsos and Chutz Migil of Parsos, and whether to be mechalik between Talmud Mubak and Talmud Chaver, even when Talmud Chaver applies. And whether it's based on the quality of the psak or the institutional versus personal kavod issue, or bizayon versus kavod, we discussed all of this. Okay, but basically, Trumas HaDeshen argues that this is a machlokas Rashi Tosas, and if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramban Sif Dalet, quoting the Trumas HaDeshen, I think, or the Beis Yosef, so whatever. Brought out by the Shulchan Aruch. Afil Nitilus Rishus Lomahani Tok Gimel Parsos Imu Rabo Mubak, based on the Bali Tosas, and so on. However, the Marik himself argues. Marik says, I don't think that the Trumas HaDeshen's reading of the Rashi and Tosas is correct. It sounds like Isaac is the best go-to person on the Marik. Yeah? Didn't see that part? No, I don't think so. Maybe it's gonna, I'll tell you which part it is. One second. With the cost of Mar, the Larashi Tzarech Lomar Tokimah Parsos Mahani Rishus, the Imlo Kein Yik Shalom Ahid Afilu Diyal Tavakutcha, the Ein L'Chalik Bei Mamona Li'isura, Min Hikshu Atosis, for Tzitza Lochiach Dal Korchach, Tosis Sphiru Lahen, the Lomahani Rishus Tok Gimel. Lo Yaradati L'Sov Daitcha Klal, you have that? The Sov Dovar Tzarech Atalomar, the Pligi Rabbeinu Shlomo Vatosis Bahai Dina, Imahani Rishus Tok Gimel Olo. They both agree about that. Rab Shlomo Savar, the Chiyar Minu the Mora Horab, if they Rabo Chayv Misa, Hainu dafka l'inyan isura. Dumi denada vaviu l'inyan ktores velazar l'inyan gule akum. D'chein kulhu l'inyan isura biyata bekutcha, mutala lasos. He's suggesting that according to Rashi, the isur of bifnei rabo is only in isur v'heter. But in Choshen Mishpat, there is no isur to be more, to be done bifnei rabo. Why? Because it's reversible, and it's about money. Avolinyan mamon akal defshe b'chazara v'gamshu maser b'yadbezin l'hafkiro li'olamem l'chadelo chmiru bo kolkach ela dai b'netilas rishus mirish galuso defker hefker, or you know, rishus mirabo, which he equates generally as well. V'anochel l'fi ani arzdaiti l'das Rashi avol tosus sfira lehu kivin afila b'yata mekutka la'ori afagav deleke l'mechush l'hora b'tos. The name of Yefshar Bechazara, Koshkin Linyan Dina de Ikalmeita Mite Tuva. Say, according to Tosus, listen, you know, Beata Bekutcha, you're really not going to get it wrong. You know, and still you can't be more Bifnei Rabo. So the fact that Choshen Mishpat is reversible makes it less than that. But what you might say is that the fact that it's reversible and it's not an irrevocable psak makes it less of a kavod problem, or makes it less consequential. You know, which turns, you know, it into a kavod problem. So again, once again, you have an interesting exchange, three or four or five different issues, and there probably are more, regarding the relationship between Isur v'Heter in this issue. Okay, I think I'm going to have to stop. Okay, so I may spend another couple of 5 minutes or so, but I really want to start tomorrow Pshara. Okay, so tomorrow we start Pshara, and on next Monday we'll go back to the status of Agadata and start doing some of the specific Agadatas too. Okay, so tomorrow's regular time.
In the context of what we were discussing,
what's that?
In the context of what